So really he didn't have any spiritual problem, and he counted this as a spiritual problem. This is not a spiritual problem. If for the rest of his life, if he goes on having this type of doubts, whether it's 2 rakats or 3 rakats, 3 rakats or 4 rakats, will it be a sin? Not a sin. If it's not a sin, then it's not a spiritual problem. So many a times, people confuse this whole thing. They come with their own mindset. One person was sitting in the masjid, making some muraqabah and zikr. And some musafir had come, taken wuzu, read 2-3 rakats namaz, and he felt asleep. The musafir began to snore. Now this person is engaged in his zikr, he's engaged in his muraqabah and meditation, while this person is snoring aloud. So he went and shook him up, by get up, you're disturbing my muraqabah, my zikr, my meditation. So he's so tired, so yeah, and then he fell sleepy again, and went on snoring again. So he got him up for the second time. Now this person could not contain himself. For the third time, when he saw him snoring again, he could not contain himself. He pulled out a knife and he slit his throat. And then with itminan and very, very comfortably continued his zikr. So everybody comes with their own mindset, and then they begin to feel that this is the sawuf, and this is the path, this is what we're supposed to be searching for. وَكُلٌّ يَدَّعِي الْوَصْلَ بِلَيْلَةٍ. Everybody claims to have some type of contact and relationship with Layla. But well, Layla ta'aba. Layla, she refuses. No, no. She refuses that I don't have the type of relationship with any of you. So each person feels like this. Therefore, it is important to understand what are the maqasid, what are the goals here, what are the aims and the objectives here, and what is just the zawaid, just the extras, the frills. You understand what is the zawaid, then you go for them, and the frills and the extras, you don't worry about them. They come, then very good, mashallah, if they came. If they haven't come, it's not a problem. You bought a stove, for example, and with that stove, furniture man that sold you the stove, he gave you perhaps a small one plate stove. So this is a bakshish from my side. So really what you need to see is the stove that you bought, that is it in working order or not. This bakshish and all that, don't worry about it. That is by the way. That is by the way. Similarly here, there are certain things that you need to understand. These are the zawaid. And there are certain things that are the maqasid. They are the real objectives and the things that you need to gain. And there are certain things that are just the extras and things that will come by the way. Now for example, two people need to make Hajj, right? One person is a resident in Makkah, so he just has to tie his ihram, make tawaf and carry on, right? And the other person, he is a resident in Durban, for example, and he lives here. Now, there's a long, lengthy procedure. He has to apply for a passport. Then he has to get his inoculations. He needs to get to the sahuk offices. Then his name must come amongst those people who are accepted. And eventually then he'll go to the airport, and the airport got a own, you know, it's got a building of its own, and all the type of different things that he will come across. Then he will go from one airport to the other airport, he'll see Jeddah, he'll see the town, he'll see the lights, and what he'll see. And after all that experience, then he comes to Makkah. So now, this Durban person discusses with the person from Makkah, But you know what? My Hajj was something totally different, you know. What a long procedure I had to go through, you know, the buildings and so much of beautiful buildings I went through. What types of people I came across. And, you know, from one airport to the other airport, and from the second airport to the third airport, what experiences I had. So now this person in Makkah feels, hey, you know, but I lost out, man. I lost out. I didn't see all these things yet. I didn't enjoy all the things that you had enjoyed. You know, all the good food that they fed you on the plane, and then the good things that you saw at the airport, and the type of people, all that, and the shops that were out there. I didn't see all these things. So I lost out in my Hajj. So what will you tell him? That was just the extra. The real thing, the actual thing was to reach Makkah Mukarramah and then spend your time in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, etc. That was the real thing that you were supposed to be acquiring. If you got this, very good. If you didn't get this and you got all Jeddah and you got the plane ride and you got the shopping, the malls and whatever else, then you have lost out entirely. So it's very, very important that we understand what this is all about. So really there are two things that we need to see all the time. Two things that are needed, and they are the basic, they are the most important things here. One is the beautification and correction of character. Now people will interpret it in different ways. In the Tabligh Jamaat they will say tashiya niyat, right? And they'll talk of ikram-e Muslim, that is akhlaq. So these are the two things that they will discuss in the Jamaat under the same tasawuf, right? One is the correction of the niyat, and the second is akhlaq or ikram-e Muslim. The Quran Sharif speaks about it as tazkiya, purification. Now purification, what do you mean by purification? So purification in three levels. One is the purification of the body against anything that is foreign, dirty, filthy, etc. You purify the body. Then the purification of the clothing, right? And number three is the purification of the heart. Right? The purification of the body is also required. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُبًا فَاتَّهَرُوا. Purification of the body is also required. Wuzu and the ritual purity that we all know of, that is also required. It's a must. Without this, your purification cannot come to the complete. It cannot be completed. That is why it is emphasized somewhat that the salik should remain in the state of wuzu. Okay? Those that are excused, old, aged, etc., then they don't have to force themselves. How much they can, all the better. But it is definitely encouraged that you remain in the state of wuzu. There are hadiths in Muslim Sharif, etc. Man makes wuzu and then he goes to sleep. If he dies in that state, he dies as a shaheed. Such a simple act. You sleep in the state of wuzu. If you die in that very state, you're dying as a shaheed. Okay. So you try and remain in the state of wuzu. Wuzu really is a weapon of a Muslim. It's a fortress of a Muslim. It protects you, it guards you. You make that wuzu, now you got someone looking after you. There are farishtas that are appointed to take care of you. Okay. You yourself, your heart will detest, it will resent evil work. While you're in the state of wuzu, you feel a state of goodness within you. A man that is not in the state of wuzu, he goes to the toilet, makes wuzu and comes, he feels lighter. Doesn't he feel lighter? Doesn't he feel better? Now this is the effect of the nur of wuzu. The effect of the nur of wuzu. And wuzu is like a protection on its own. So one is the wuzu. And as I say, if a person is aged, etc., then he doesn't have to exert himself, number one. Number two is, it doesn't mean that if you need to be in the state of wuzu, then you force yourself to be in wuzu. No, don't remain in wuzu grudgingly. Like I said yesterday also, you don't rob Peter to pay Paul. If you got gas problems, etc., you rather release them rather than forcing yourself to be in the state of wuzu. Yeah, you're lazy to make wuzu, so you need to go to toilet before going to sleep. Now you force yourself, you know, let me just sleep like this. Now you create other complications for yourself. You need to urinate, you need to pass out, number one, number two, or even air and gases. You rather go and do all that and then sleep. So you don't hurt your body because of this. Like you need to stay in the state of wuzu, this is also something desirable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to look after this body is an amanat, it's a trust, it's not your own body, it belongs to Allah Ta'ala. You need to take care of this as well. So you need to see that you stay in wuzu, but as I say, it doesn't mean that you do it grudgingly. You'll create complications for yourself. You'll definitely create complications for yourself. Eventually you'll find, if you're trying to force yourself in the state of wuzu, you may end up with prostate problems. A lot of business people, you see, are they attending meetings, etc., conference and all that. And now they worry, you can see that slight urge is building up, but your mind is diverted into a different thing. And then the feeling of urine is gone. See, the urine and your gases, etc., relate to that state of your mind. If your mind is shifting on something else, you'll find that urge is also decreasing. But within yourself, there is an urge that has been built up. Your mind is not relating to it. It's not registering. And if it doesn't register, it doesn't mean that you don't have an urge to pass out. So you need to pass out. And remember all the time that this is an amanat, it's a trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like you have to take care of everything else, then this is also one thing that you need to take care of, your body. You have got that body, and it will enable you to do things. Your body, Hazrat Muhammad Thami Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, advised some people, if the hakim or the doctor has recommended that you take a walk, perhaps early in the morning, though it is virtuous to sit in the same spot from Fajr till Ishraq, perform your Ishraq namaz and then leave, though it is got its own virtue, but if the hakim for some reason he asks you to take a walk, or the doctor asks you to take a walk in the morning for half an hour or something, then you rather go by the advice of the doctor. He said if your niyat is right, inshallah your sawab will not be affected. If your niyat is, for example, that I don't want to be dependent on others in my obligation, in the fulfillment of my obligation, namaz, I don't depend on anybody else. Or my own personal needs, I don't need anybody else. I need to go for Hajj, Umrah, or whatever else, then I need to be active, I need to be agile, I need to be able to be fit. So I can be fit if my body is right. My body will be right if I do this type of exercises. I'm walking, and I'm walking regularly, so my body is fit, I can do work. But if my body is not right, then for every small need of mine, I'm dependent on the second person, third person, or do this, get this, do this, get this. So if the doctor or the Hakim Sahib has advised you that you take a walk, then inshallah, your sawab will not be affected in any way. Mawla himself used to walk approximately 7 kilometers every day. Every day used to walk. See? In fact, he had special shoes made just for walk. You know how we have his tekis. Now, but that was a different style. That's hard wearing shoes. In fact, Mawlana had started taking that walking stick in his walk. Because he began to walk once, and some dog began to give him a chase. So he's seen the need to take a stick with also. See? So this is the one level of purity, and that is the ritual purity, and you cleanse your body from ritual impurities. Right? It may not sound as an impurity, but ritually, Islamically, according to the Sharia, this is counted as an impurity. Then you cleanse yourself from that impurity. See? Similarly, you need to clean your clothing also from all type of impurities, though it may be small. But these things, they prevent the coming of the malaika. The malaika, their du'as, and their protection, etc. We need all the time. We need their du'a. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Malaika are guarding you from in front, from behind, from the evils that you know and from the evils that you don't know. There are shaitans and jinnat that are after man. They are after the soul of man, after the life of man, after the good and the comfort of man. They want to destroy that man. And this malaika, they take care. They take care. I was looking on kitab to every person, that there's approximately over 36 malaika. Over 36 malaika is guarding you, protecting you. Jinnah, shayateen, that the wall doesn't collapse onto you. You don't fall into a ditch. Well, if it is a command of Allah Ta'ala that this must happen, then it's unavoidable. Otherwise, under normal circumstances, it won't happen because Allah Ta'ala's malaika are guarding you all the time. So this is one level of purity, and with this purity comes also type of purity is you conceal your body. You don't expose your body. Whether it's in the confine of your room, then too you conceal your body. Some people feel, well, I'm in the confines of my room, and what's the need to cover myself? Alright, one is, you are with your family and you are having some relationship, that is a different thing. That's there also it is required that you try and at least cover yourselves. See? Don't be like asses, you become totally naked and you are exposed to everything else. There too it is advisable that you cover yourselves. To the extent that you need to see each other, there's no problem in that. But then do it in a covered way. And apart from that, when you aren't with your family, for example, then don't undress in a way that you will lose the company of the malaika. Now you're sleeping, for example, in a pajama shorts, and your thighs are open, are exposed. You're depriving yourself unnecessarily from the malaika. Malaika won't come now. They won't come there. You will find some people, they have a habit just to sleep in their brief. And our European brothers, they go one step ahead. They go totally naked and sleep. So these type of things, this will chase away, will turn away the malaika. They will turn away the malaika. Farishtas will go away. You won't have their blessings, you won't have their support, and you won't have their duas. So this is the second type of, second level of purity. And the woman also should be told about this. It doesn't mean that you are in the confine of your house and you just dress up any old house. No. There is a hadith which says that the woman who keeps her hair open, then she is deprived of the malaika. She is now preparing food and she's got her hair open, her head open. So the malaika are not there. That is why you will find that sometimes the woman is working very hard in the kitchen, but her food doesn't come out to be so tasty, enjoyable, or it's not so satisfying. That is, she is not accompanied with the dua of the malaika. On the other hand, it may be a simple food. Simple lady is preparing that food, and a simply prepared food. But it's so enjoyable, and you're just wondering now, where did this enjoyment come from? I ate the same meal elsewhere also, but I didn't find the type of comfort, I didn't find the type of enjoyment and happiness I find in this food here. So this is on account also of your purity, as well as the malaika that are accompanying you. One is your purity, and one is the malaika that are accompanying you. You'll find now this enjoyment within your food, within your life, you'll find the type of extra additional happiness. So this is the second level of purity. The main purity is this third level, and that is the purity of the heart. Okay. Now this purity of the heart is so important. In one single surah, was shamsi wa duha, Allah Ta'ala takes approximately 11 oaths. Was shamsi wa duhaha, wal qamari idha talaha, wal nahari idha jallaha. Just count it and you'll find approximately 11 oaths. And after announcing and declaring these 11 oaths, Allah Ta'ala says, wa nafsim wa ma sawaha, qad aflaha man zakkaha. Wa nafsim wa ma sawaha. And then he says, qad aflaha man zakkaha. The one that purifies this nafs, he purifies the soul, then he is really in the line of prosperity. Allah Ta'ala subjects this entire prosperity, this whole success, on the purification of the soul. وَنَفْسِمْ وَمَا سَوَّهَا and قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. You purify this, you rectify this, and you'll find that type of success, the type of prosperity that Allah Ta'ala speaks about here in this verse. And this is not in only one verse of the Quran. Look at various verses of Quran, the same thing is being repeated. سَبِّهِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَلَىٰ and قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Then again you look at the Ba'asat, the mission of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Amongst the missions of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, one mission is إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِي وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. The internal purification, the purification of the soul. Now this, we take it very lightly. Now and then we'll come and relate, or this is what happened, halat and all that, and then carrying on. And such a casual approach, no fikr, no concern. Now how do you expect that tazkiyah should take place? You can find the time for everything else. For the external betterment, you can find it. You need to take out some time for your business, you can take out. To polish up your room and everything else, you can take out time. To please the family, you can take time. See? To improve your your ilm and knowledge, you can take out the time. Everything you can take out time. But for this you can't take out. No, I got this work here, I need to attend to this, and I need to attend to this. So we can't find the time to purify this, to correct this. The little time that we got for this also, now that also must take out some time for getting this right, getting that right. Now how are you going to get that tazkiyah right? Tell me. Within the time that you have allocated for this, 10 days in the whole year, 1 month in the entire year, and in that also your mind has been diverted to something else. Whatever it is, even though it may be virtuous, but tell me, are you doing justice to yourself? Are you doing justice to this? Yeah, in the words of Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah, used to say, yeh suluk ke saath bad suluki hai. Kya? Yeh suluk ke saath bad suluki hai. See, this suluk and tazkiyah, it connects you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? It connects you with Allah ta'ala. Now tell me, that connection that you need with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can it be ill-treated in this way? Can you show the type of cruelty to it? So yes, suluk ke saath bad suluk hai. It's an ill-treatment towards suluk, that you have taken out this time, and there also the time is gone in this, something else. Though it may be virtuous, that's virtuous in its place, but is your focus still in the... Is your mind still focused? Your mind is not focused. Now your mind is shifted to something else. Now, obviously, it's an ill-treatment. It's a cruelty to this suluk. So you're not going to get that type of desired result. Mind must be focused. And nafsu la yatawajjahu ila shay'in fi anin wahidin. We say it all the time, that the mind can't go into two things at one and the same time. You want this, then you go all out for this. And you're going to something else, you do something else. But then you're mixing both, and you're taking out so little bit of time, whereas you say, no, I want the type of special association, the special nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. And when you see other people having that nisbat, then you're aspiring for it. But then when it comes for you giving that amount of time, not giving that time, so how is it going to work? A simple question, how is it going to work? When you are required to give that time, you're not giving that time. So is it going to work? It's not going to work. If it works also, isme kaccha pana reh jayega, it will be raw, you know. Like the kebab, you know, the kebab, you made it out of mince, you made the mince, you added the masalas and all that, and you give it to someone, that was going to eat this kebab. Tell me, will you be able to take one morsel of that kebab? You can't. You'll take it and you'll spit it out. So no, it's kaccha pana reh gaya. It's not prepared fully. So same, exactly, you have the ingredients, but it's not prepared fully. So you can't take it down. So how are you going to enjoy it then? So your mind must be fully focused. Must be focused on that work. You've come with this intention that I need that special purification, I need to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all those things that will come as blockages on the path, any contamination, any blockage, anything for that matter, now please keep away. I'm going into this, let me go with a full mind, with a full heart, let me be fully dedicated to this, so that I may receive what I need to receive. What is in the mind of the sheikh may point to your heart, the heart may point to your heart, otherwise, no, it can't happen. It's been shifted into two, three different things at one and the same time. It's not going to happen. So this purification of the soul, your mind is just on it, nothing else. Nothing else. It's just on the... You will find that if your track is the same, your mind is the same, the thoughts are the same, then the good that is the sheikh himself may be nothing. Right? But the good that is in the silsila, the silsila of suluk, whichever mashayikh that you are connected to, and the good that is in them, then they begin to filter into you. They begin to pour into you, gradually. According to the cleanliness that you have brought, according to the tazkiyah and purification that you have brought, now the good is pouring. It's coming from above, and there needs to be some type of means for it to pass through. There needs to be some means for it to come through. The rain comes from above, right? Then there'll be a reservoir, right? Then the reservoir will collect that water, and through that means it'll come to you. The rainwater, you don't drink it straight. Does it? Do you drink it straight? No. You need some means. Some means that it must be collected and must be passed on to you. So these spiritual fuels and barakat, they also come from above. But then it needs to be channeled through a a system, a type of means, eventually it comes to you. So قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And I say that this was one of the maqasid of nubuwwat, one of the mission of nubuwwat. What is it? The mission of nubuwwat is tazkiyah. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. If it was to instruct, then it was also tazkiyah. If it was to recite the verses of the Quran Sharif, then it was also tazkiyah. Mufsir Rahmatullahi says that one muazzin known for his piety and righteousness, people fall sick, their children, whatever, they come to him to make dua or to make dam. So anyway, they call him to make dam. Mufsir Rahmatullahi is relating this incident. They call him to make dam. So just switch on the lights. So that Muazzin Sab is making dam, see? Now the way he's reciting Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, Lam yalad wa lam yulad. I don't know what Qirat he was reciting, but he was reciting in this way. He made dam and the child came right. Now the people are surprised, they are shocked here. Okay, this man's recitation is not right. Qari Sahib, I don't know what Qari Sahib would say. But everything is working out. So they're looking at him surprised. They're looking at this Muazzin Sahib surprised. Okay, he's reciting the Quran Sharif like this. And he's making dham, and the dham is really working. So he understood, okay, this is what these people feel. I can't recite correctly. So he says to that Mulana that is down near him, he says, Mulana sahab, I worked on my heart. I worked on my heart, I cleansed my heart, I purified my heart. Then the heart also needs to be purified in two things, from shirk, etc., and from lowly carnal qualities. Now you tell me, what is more important? The heart needs to be clean. What is more important? How much more important is these two things, shirk, etc., cleanse your heart from that, and from this lowly carnal qualities to everything else? Others are also obligations. But does this hold a more important position than everything else? Yes. To get the right type of yaqeen, the right type of iman, the right type of ikhlas, the right type of sincerity, see? The right type of akhlaq, is that not important? Is that just an optional thing? I tell you, nothing will work in this world. Without these qualities, nothing will work. It just needs time for me to explain this, but I will tell you, nothing will work. You need that type of qualities, that loyalty, that muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wafadari, that sincerity, see? That ikhlas, there mustn't be ostentation, there mustn't be show, see? That dedication, to dedicate yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart needs to be cleansed and purified from everything else, see? So is that not important? That's what I'm saying, yes, suluk ke saath, but suluk hi hum kar rahe, we are mixing up everything up here, and at the end of the day, you know, things are not working out. I sat for etikaf also, but things did not work out for me. Kin main aap se poochta hoon ke ye aapne suluk ke saath badsuluki ki ya nahi? Ask yourself. Just listening to that one talk and going away, not going for that training that is required of you, not coming. Does it work out? Doesn't work out. You need to be dedicated. You need to be in that direction. If you are going for ta'aleem, then your mind is dedicated in ta'aleem. Examination time, you don't want to hear about anything, not even any extra nafil namaz, nothing. Just on that. Your whole mind and your whole focus is on that. So at the end of the whole exercise, you feel and you see something coming out. Good results are coming out. Alhamdulillah. You feel good about it. But here, because this is a discrete thing, nobody sees it. Everybody doesn't see it. The mashayikh may sense it to a certain level. Like how a doctor from the symptoms he makes out that this person is in for trouble. Other people will not understand it, but from symptoms this doctor will make it out. Similarly, the mashayikh will make out that this person is in for trouble. If he doesn't take care of himself, he's in for trouble. Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, they speak about his halat. Musawwar Ahmad used to say that when he used to make sajda, then the ground on which he used to make sajda will be filled of his tears. That was his beginning halat, kifiyat. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi heard about his halat, and he says, agar kisi sheikh kamil ke daman ko pakar nahi liya, to andesha hai ke koi bahut hi bara dawa kar lega kisi din ko. If he doesn't get hold of a sheikh, he doesn't come under the guidance of a sheikh, there is a fear that he will make a very major claim one day. One day he'll make a massive claim. And a couple of years passed, and from one thing it led to the other, one thing went on to the other, until he made the dawah and the claim of nubuwwat. So all this happens when you have got the mind of your own. You want to do this, you'll do it. When you want to do a thing, nothing stops you. But you don't want to do a thing, you say, Hazrat, can I do this? Hazrat says, yeah, now you do it. Hazrat, must I do this? Now you do it. Because the Hazrat will know now that, why this person wants to do it. And he just wants the endorsement, he just wants an approval. So now you do it, mashallah, go ahead. But he knows within his mind, he knows within his heart that this person is going to be delayed now. You know, do this type of work, all these things will happen, and there's going to be a delay, there's going to be a definite, genuine delay in this whole exercise. So the mind needs to be totally in that direction, in that, nothing else, no disturbance, absolute in that direction. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had come to Delhi to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he was going on very well, until one day he says to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib that I can't read the kitab. I can just see some lines here, but I can't read. So they asked him to, they got other kitabs and they asked him to see other things. Everything else I can read very well, I can see, but I can't read the kitab. So Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah says, جاؤ خدا نے تمہیں کچھ کسی اور کام کے لئے پیدا کیا ہے. Go. Allah Ta'ala has created you for some other work. Anyway, at that whole time there was something going on in Shah Sahib's house where some guests were going to come, and they needed to put up a tent, and the tent wasn't coming straight at the roof. The Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah rolled up his sleeves, he rolled up his pants to his shin, and he climbed up a tree and he got it right. Shah Abdul Qadir ko unki ye dhaj bari pyari nazar aayi. Shah Abdul Qadir sahab is the brother of Shah Abdul Aziz sahab Rahmatullah. He liked this of his. And he says to Hazrat Sayyid sahab, he says to Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz sahab, Shah Abdul Qadir ko Sayyid sahab ko mere hawala kar do. Just entrust him to me and let him be with me. Abdul Aziz Sahib said, yes, very good. He liked the way he conducted himself. He liked it. See the dedication. What he saw is the dedication. Nobody was able to get it right, and he didn't mind anything. He's a Sayyid, he's coming from a family, reputable family he's coming from, but his respect, his reputation, he's not worried about. He's being, like I said in the morning, he's being consumed with the love of his elder. Whatever the love the sheikh wants, let me do it. Now this type of things, they come around, and it's seen thereafter that what is the level of commitment, what is the level of dedication. From there things just begin to grow, just begins to sprout one thing to the other, it just grows. Anyway, Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali asked him, Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah asked him, you know, your Muzi or Quran Sharif, Tarjuma is done by Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he asked him, you sit in this corner of the masjid, like our masjid we have got an open section and a covered section. So you sit in this open section and you complete all these zikrs etc. that I am giving you. So he sat in the section and is completing his zikr. 1-2 months passed, came the rainy season. Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib had to go in that end. He goes on that end and he sees him in that corner and is completing his zikr whilst it's pouring, the rain is pouring. Tum yahan par baithe ho is barish mein, in this rain you are sitting here. Hazrat, aap hi ne to ye mauka bataya tha. This is a place that you had shown me. How can I move away from this place? Bas. Ye Shah Sahib ka kaam ban gaya. That dedication, he didn't know that this man is going to be so highly dedicated. This level of dedication, it was unexpected. Allah Ta'ala blessed the Sayyid Sahib to such a level that Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah, that is the Sheikh, actual Sheikh, he used to send other people. Many people came to him for advice, suluk, etc. He says, go by him. What you won't receive by me in 10 years, you will receive by him in a matter of 40 days. This man has progressed so well. He's progressed so well that what you won't receive by me, that is the Sheikh is saying, but my student, you will get that in 40 days. Go by him. But this is after that type of dedication, that type of commitment he had given himself up. He allowed himself to be consumed by the Shaykh. Shaykh also seen it. He also made dua. When he made dua, that dedication, that commitment, and he's given himself up. Then Allah Pak also says, "Walladina jahadu fina." You show that level of strive. You show that type of dedication. When you say mujahada, that's what you mean. Strive, that type of dedication, that type of commitment, that type of ek walwala ho, ek shauk ho. You show that type of dedication. And the rest is, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, Allah ta'ala's promises, lanahdiyannahum, with a lot of emphasis, lam for emphasis, then the noon for emphasis. What is it for? You show that strive, you show that dedication, you show the commitment, and you see, Allah ta'ala will support you. Allah ta'ala will see to it that you reach to the level of completion and perfection. Allah ta'ala tawfiq nasib kar.